By the time Orwell married Sonia Brownell, 1984 was written, after which he would never leave his bed again. But he left one final warning.
1984 is, I believe, a quite terrifying masterpiece. So terrifying, in fact, I don't think I should like to read another like it.
I am not absolutely dissatisfied with it. I think it is a good idea, but the execution would have been better if I had not been under the influence of TB when I wrote it.
You once claimed that you have an ability to face unpleasant facts. Is that what you've demonstrated in 1984 by drawing an accurate portrait of the future?
I think that allowing for the book being, after all, a parody, something like 1984 could actually happen. This is the direction the world is going in at the present time. In our world, there will be no emotions except fear, rage, triumph and self-abasement. The sex instinct will be eradicated. We shall abolish the orgasm. There will be no loyalty except loyalty to the party. But always there will be the intoxication of power. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen. It depends on you.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, October 6, 2021. And, you know, is it possible that we the people have any influence on the times and so forth? Well, I'm increasingly, I think, really understanding what the authors have been trying to tell us for quite some time, especially the contemporary folks, you know, in reflection of the atrocities of the 20th century, for example. And yes, we all do play a part in that. And that's one of the deeply disturbing aspects of the atrocities, you know, that we have witnessed in recent times. So, you know, it's definitely something, I think, to think about. So, I will get back into some of the ways that we see that we have descended into madness, essentially, as it were, here in America. There are innumerable signs. I'll get into some more. But what else? What other comments did you have, Glenn?
Oh, okay. I wanted to finish up about the El Faro, about how, you know, uh-huh. The diminishing degree of attention from Titanic to Edmund Fitzgerald to the El Faro. But then one last thing I had question for you was, you said something about the Jeep Grand Wagoneer badge. Mm-hmm. Are you referring to, the only thing I find is the thing with the flag? Are you talking about the depiction of the American flag on there?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is there's a like an Army recruitment commercial on TV that addresses that flag on the uniform. I think it was an Army uniform. And supposedly it's about, it's supposed to depict the flag, you know, on a flagpole, you know, being carried forward or something.
But it's waving with the Union.
The reason that doesn't make sense is all you have to do is walk around to the other side and it would be correct.
right. So, you know, exactly. So what I intended to do, and maybe I'll do this at some point, I don't think I'll do it today, but going back into 4USC, you know, the flag code, for example, back to the 40s when it was originally implemented, codified. And then sort of coming forward from there and just talking about that, maybe I'll do that later. But I think the best example, you know, I have talked from time to time about, you know, you see things like what Radley Balco has written about the militarization of police. Alan Watt, as you know, Glenn, would remind mm-hmm. us frequently about the esoteric conversion of the peace officer to law enforcement to now the Black Guard, which, you know, corresponds to the changing of the uniforms. They're not blue anymore. So why do we say back the blue? Why is it a blue line? There are no blue uniforms. So it's right. Again, it's a schizophrenia inducing double bind.
Well, and, let's not forget that blue ties into the lower ranks of the Freemasonic realm, the Blue Lodge, and blue, if you remember Alan Watt's analysis of the colors, blue represents, you know, like the sky and building and constructive aspect of things, whereas the red is bloodshed, the black is the destructive side of things.
Right,
so
right.
So moving from the upbuilding blue uniform to the black destructive
right.
principle.
So I have mentioned, you know, when we start talking about this stuff from time to time, I mention the PMC infiltration, the DefSec infiltration of the peace officer, you know, the post academies, basically. And I have mentioned from time to time how, you know, it was Bill in Idaho actually originally who said, hey, you know, maybe we should look into this. And I started looking and I found Eric Prince's own application for limited liability corporation when he acquired the Backup Training LLC. So Blackwater acquired Backup Training LLC, which was a Coeur d'Alene based they bragged themselves the world leader in CD-ROM based law enforcement training at the time, and they were acquired by Blackwater, which basically gave Blackwater a direct line, kind of a, you know, an intravenal tap, if you will, into all of the post academies, not just in America but beyond, to pump all of their stuff in. And so I talked about how basically the result of this, you know, you have this, the militarization that guys like Radley Balco have talked about. There was the, speaking of that area, Coeur d'Alene, Spokane, there was that story that came out back in 2007, December 25, 2007, Spokesman Review article titled Police Graduation Causes Stir. And you can see that the slogan of the graduating class of the Idaho Post Academy is don't suffer from PTSD, go out and cause it. And so the Post Academy executive director said that's not something we can encourage or condone. The class leader, let's see, it says from the article, it says each post class is allowed to vote on a slogan, and the latest class, which included officers bound for 19 police agencies around the state, selected the quote from retired Army Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman. And so Grossman writes and teaches about mental survival for officers. His work is particularly popular in military cycles. Circles, and Black said our class president was ex-military, it slipped in. Well, it categorizes the broader trend and attitude and so forth. So right. To put the two together, there is this post from Law Enforcement Today, March 28, 2019, speaking of, like you said, you know, the explainer that doesn't really explain is that, you know, the flag is, it's always advancing, is what they say. That's the language, you know, of the backwards flag. Well, this, to me, this Law Enforcement Today, this LET post, is kind of a dead giveaway. So the post is titled, this flag isn't backward, it's assaulting forward. This is
it's going
a police.
It's going forward.
This is a law enforcement. It's not. Advancing, the language that you hear from like the Army, for example, is that it's advancing forward. It's supposed to look like it's waving, in the breeze, which is why the union is on the other side when the patch is worn on the right shoulder, blah, 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 blah. What was wrong with having the patch on the left shoulder for all those decades then, if that's what we want to do? So anyway,
right.
To just sort of, you know, the culmination of all this stuff we're talking about, to me, is embodied.
On the flag thing?
Let me just, I'm just saying, this title says it all. This flag isn't backward. It's assaulting forward. So now we have law enforcement folks saying the flag assaulting. Is the flag that they wear is assaulting forward. It's assaulting.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's not forget that one of the great phrases from the Nazis was immer höher, immer weiter, ever higher, ever wider, or ever further. So this, there you have this advancement concept, the going forward, the assaulting, and immer hoher, immer weiter, especially the immer weiter, because you're taking ground as you go.
Right, exactly. Assaulting forward.
Yeah.
Always.
Yep,
everywhere,
exactly.
On all sides, in every direction. And of course, you know, now you have, so, okay, we can, you know, to the point, and basically to your point there, how do we explain the chest badge then? You know, you see folks, special forces in particular, with the chest badge, with the flag that's on the wrong side. I'm just going to say it's not back. It's on the wrong side. The union's on the wrong side.
Right.
Well, how do you explain the chest badge then? Okay, so it's assault. It's advancing forward on the right shoulder. What about the chest? Why?
Well, and also in the
because he's walking around in circles. What's going on there?
The transmutation of our language. We always hear everybody saying, you know, I always say, what happened to the prepositional phrase in the future? Instead of saying in the future, they say, going forward, we will be doing this. And we will be doing it. And we will be doing this going forward. You know, and it's like, it's the same damn thing.
Right. Yeah.
I always say, what happened? I liked in the future. You know.
Everything is computer science language, too. Stood up is another term of art that I don't appreciate when I hear it. Everything is stood up now.
Oh, okay.
Like everything is either a
Oh, they stood up for this and they stood up for that?
No.
No,
this new operation was stood up in real time, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a, you get the idea of, what did you have, some kind of concrete tilt up structure that you put up? Is that what you mean? Or is it some,
Or maybe it's like a Frankenstein monster that's like stood up and animated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that one.
There are a number of those kinds of terms of art that are being used these days. But yeah, you're right. Going forward is definitely.
Or we've always had slang and colloquialisms and stuff like that. But sometimes this stuff like virally infects the, you know. But for a number of years, it was, you know, my bad. My bad this and my, I'm good. That's the other thing. I'm good. They've got people who are saying, would you like some more iced tea? No, I'm good. Well, no, you're not good. You're a sinner. You're falling. You know, you're still a sinner falling, you know. But you're not good. But everybody's around saying, I'm good.
People who know me personally know that hearing that expression makes my eye twitch. It's something that really, really, it does. My eyes twitching now, actually, just hearing it.
Well, people don't say no, thank you. Like, would you like some more iced tea? They don't say, oh, no, thank you, or oh, yes, please. No, I'm good.
Which
like,
gets
what about
back
please,
to
please and thank you.
Right. Some of the most glaringly provocative signs were on the Romans 1 descent to madness. Our language is entirely perverted and corrupt.
Right.
Meaningless, geez. Except in terms of hieroglyphics and slogans.
I tell you, I miss the good old days. I mean, yeah, when I and forget about grammar. Oh my gosh, I want to be. I saw a woman on a game show the other day. She said she's an English teacher, and that she ran around correcting people's grammar. And I'm like, oh, marry me.
Right on. 'Cause
I want to be the official talk show, grammar corrector. You know, the person who corrects word choice, you know, grammar and spelling and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just maddening. The man you had on last week from Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
He was an eloquent speaker, and it was just so wonderful. I ended up looking up Lord Monckton. It's like, oh, it's like when I used to listen to Lord Monckton. This guy can actually speak the English language well. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? He's not American.
Yeah, exactly. No surprise. Amazing. There neither is Lord Monckton.
That's what I mean,
any American elocutionists these days. I don't know. I'm not aware of anyone who's particularly well-spoken at this point.
Well, the Voice of America, Sinatra, was studied in the technique of elocution. It's my understanding that Sinatra attributed elocution to his success to a large extent to elocution and his study of it. That's my understanding.
You probably know who P.J. Barton is, right? You probably remember he was on.
Mm-hmm.
I remember calling into him one night, and he said, he accused me of being an elocutionist. And that was a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, thank you. Like, if somehow that makes me, like, untrustworthy or something, you know. But anyway. All right, well, listen, I know you were progressing, so I kind of diverted you a bit, so sorry about that. But
no worries.
You need to get back to your SUVs and your ships.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Okay, thanks,
Thank
Chris.
You, sir.
Here's by the door.
It. Much appreciated, as always. Yeah. So, solutions. Got to get to solutions, all of it today. Maybe just a few more examples of how we have descended into madness, examples that we have. Not that we need examples. Have you seen the George Norrie Gaia thing? That, to me, I would call the theosophical confluence. You know, that's evidence of the culminating theosophical, you know, drawing people together, that symbol, you know, the swastika basically being a catcher. You know, if you turn it like a turnstile, then it's gathering people. And if you turn it in one direction, it's gathering people. It's like the catcher, catching everybody everywhere. And then you turn it the other way, it's the disseminator. Anyway, not to get esoteric, but George Norrie, Gaia stuff, and the talk of God and biblical things, I mean, that really is the theosophical confluence. That's interesting. Anyway, don't want to get into that. America, like I said, 2021, in a word, we have become obscurantist. I would say obscurantism is apparently our new proximate religion. So more signs of our descent to madness. Like I said, rules are arbitrary and meaningless. That's tantamount to lawlessness. Our language is entirely perverted and corrupt. It's, you know, the hyperbolic nature of it is telling as well. You know, we've gone to such lengths now. Who is the French comedian? I think we've played the clip, you know, the French comedian saying how strange it sounds to other folks who come here and English is not their first language when they hear Americans say things like, I'm more than happy to serve you, or something crazy like that. And in America, we don't realize how strange that sounds, but it is. What do you mean? What exactly is more than happy? And it's obviously disingenuous, to say the least. So language is entirely perverted and corrupt. Truth is outlawed. Again, the COVID nonsense. Gender as a social construct is not true. Pronouns are hate speech. As far as I know, we used to be very thoughtful and considerate when we used them, like the distinction between ma'am and miss, for example. More examples when we come back, and then we'll move on. Stick around. I'll be right back. Thank you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Descent to Madness. I'll come back to that. Let's go to the phones for now and grab Pat in Texas. Pat. Oh, we lost Pat again. All right. Oh, okay. Ah, okay. Got it. All right. So more of the list then. More of the list. Examples, evidence that we have, evidence of our descent to madness. So, and I'm getting to the Wagoneer badge, which is, again, a thing that really is deeply disturbing. It's all of these things. And again, you know, you go back 100 years, you know, Sinclair Lewis, it can't happen here, and all of the cliches, you know, when fascism comes to America, it'll be under the banner of anti-fascism. We have that. We've seen that in the last couple of years in particular. few, 2-3 years. When fascism comes to America, it'll be wrapped in a flag carrying a cross, and we see the flag. The flag is everywhere. I see flags on everything, and it's we're seeing more and more the creep to, you know, again, speaking of the military aspect of the flag. Well, if it's on a camouflage uniform, we can't very well have it red, white, and blue now, can we? So it has to be camouflaged. And so then everything is the camouflage flag, including the Grand Wagoneer door badge, which is ridiculous. It's not even supposed to be on the thing in the first place. So, I mean, just a moment on that since I'm on it. Not only is it not a Wagoneer, I don't know if you ever experienced the Grand Wagoneer of old, or the Grand Cherokee, shall we say. But you can't say that anymore. You know, no wonder it's not a Grand Cherokee, because that's just racist. That's hate speech, even though that's preposterous. So, if you're familiar with the Grand Cherokee, I think it had the 318 in it that would climb trees. The thing was amazing. And, you know, you could drive straight up anything with the old Grand Cherokees. The Grand Wagoneer, you know, no offense to Lee Iacocca, but in the Chrysler days, Jeep is not the same product. You know, it hasn't been. It's like everything else, you know, made in China doesn't really connote the same level of quality that we have historically known. In America, no offense, China, you're great at making knockoffs, but when it comes to quality, that's not something you're known for, at least in my humble estimation. So the Grand Wagoneer door badge, it's not a Wagoneer. It's not a Jeep. It's not the Jeep of old. It's a cheap knockoff, which gets to some of the other stuff. You know, evidence I will mention again. Not only does 4 USC expressly prohibit this kind of thing, I think it's 4 USC Section 7, I want to say. But the flag is backwards. So to recap, there's a backwards flag on a junk product that ain't even an American product. I mean, think about it. It's not an American product, but it has an American badge on it. It's a backwards flag, a camouflage backwards flag on a junk product that's not even American. Welcome to the new and improved, air quotes, fascism, comrades. I digress. Maybe while I'm on it, 4 USC 8, respect for the flag. No disrespect should be shown to the flag of the United States of America. And this, you know, the nationalist, fascist, you know, national socialist aspect of, you know, feigned patriotism, that all notwithstanding. I'm not ignoring that. Of course, that's a thing. You know, we play the clip of Howard Zinn from time to time. Maybe we should play it now, telling us that there is a marked distinction between what we all consider patriotism and what the state considers patriotism, and how propaganda is used to conflate the two and get you and I to support an agenda that we do not support, like going around doing, you know, kicking in doors, doing knock and talk raids around the world, snatch and grab kinds of stuff, and other fun things that we shouldn't be doing. That all notwithstanding, 4 USC Section 8. Maybe I'll talk about some of this stuff for a minute and then get back into this other, the examples of the descent to madness. I mean, the Grand Wagoneer door badge is perfect. Backwards flag, junk product, ain't even American. Ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Stick around. We'll be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Flag, we got to get to solutions. I'll do it in this segment, I promise. So the flag is evidence, the badge, the Grand Wagoneer door badge, the backwards flag, is more evidence of our descent to madness here in America. So let's just start for USC section 8, you know. So 4 USC is the flag code, the codification of how the flag is to be treated. United States, flag of the United States of America. And that it's, I'm going to leave all of these peripheral discussions aside. So I'm not going to get into, you know, the United States versus these United States and all that. I'm just going to set that aside. So 4 USC Section 8, A, the flag should never be displayed with the Union down, except as a signal of dire distress in instances of extreme danger. Should we say that, I don't know, maybe since the days of the Federal Reserve, we could fly it upside down? You know, whenever you do that, you get in trouble. People have done that, and you see news stories of that from time to time, and, you know, everyone always frowns on that. Oh, my goodness, how can you? Which is a weird, bizarre sort of bandwagon effect example, I think. Anyway, D, the flag should never be used as wearing apparel, bedding, or drapery. And then, you know, you have words in the codification of the flag that are, I don't know, maybe people have to look them up. It should never be festooned. What is that? Bunting of blue, white, and red, always arranged with the blue above, white in the middle, red below, should be used to cover a speaker's desk. What is bunting? G, the flag should never have placed upon it, nor on any part of it, nor attached to it any mark, insignia, letter, word, figure, design, picture, or drawing of any nature. That seems to address the Grand Wagoneer badge. If that weren't enough, the flag should never be used for advertising purposes in any manner whatsoever, period. There's more, but I'll leave it at that in the interest of time. J, no part of the flag should ever be used as a costume or athletic uniform. However, a flag patch, and how much of that do we see these days everywhere? However, flag patch, and it's a peculiar thing. We're wearing these things more and more on the outside that should be internal. We don't have the substance of these things, but we display the form of them everywhere. However, a flag patch may be affixed to the uniform of the military personnel, firemen, policemen, and members of patriotic organizations. Wait a minute. What if your costume or athletic uniform is part of a patriotic organization? Again, the double bind. The flag represents a living country, and it is itself considered a living thing. Therefore, the lapel flag pin, being a replica, should be worn on the left lapel near the heart. I'm sure Francis Bellamy would be proud. But again, setting aside that discussion. K, the flag, when it is in such condition that it is no longer a fitting emblem for display, should be destroyed in a dignified way, preferably burning, which again I think is a point of irony, but I'll set that aside also. So just with those things kind of in mind, I would say that the Grand Wagoneer door badge is a provocative display of our descent to madness, and you know, again, there is a backwards flag on a junk product. I'm sure it's going to have recalls probably when it rolls out, because that will create more conflict, kind of like what I was talking about reading Nesta Webster's World Revolution, where, again, speaking of the classic double bind, you have these two sides at odds with each other, and people will be fighting, well, not people, not non-persons, automatons or numb mobs composed of people who are no longer acting as individuals, as Jaron Lanier so put it so eloquently. You know, get people fighting, create a junk product that's not even American. It's not American, for Pete's sake. It's not an American product. It's not. And what lengths we go to these days, what artful sophistry we go to try to say, well, this was assembled in America. This was, you know, some parts of it were made here, some parts assembled. It's so ridiculous. It's like the old guaranteed a warranty discussion. Nothing is guaranteed anymore. Craftsman tools used to be guaranteed when we were not an entirely debauched society. We had craftsmen who needed tools. and the Craftsman tools were guaranteed. They were made in America. On and on and on. So, before I go to the other examples, you know, I threatened, here is Howard Zinn on patriotism. Go ahead, please.
The idea of patriotism assumes that the government and the citizens have the same interest. So that if the government tells you something, well, it's in all our interest. There's a common interest. In fact, the language in the culture suggests that, tells you that. You hear politicians say, well, we'll go to war if it's in the national interest, meaning we all have the same interest, Exxon and I, General Motors and I, the president and the kid he sends to war, all have the same interest. You know, national security, oh, security means the same thing to all of us. National defense, they're all these phrases that tie us all up into bundles of common interest when there really is no common interest, when the government has its interest, the corporations have their interest, and the ordinary citizen has interests which become put aside and become swept up in the government's interest. And the citizen begins to believe that, no, there's a common interest we all have. We're all one country. We're all Americans. And patriotism means we must all believe in the same things and do the same things and believe what the government says because the government has our interest at heart, because the government has the same interest that we do. So take some work and take some thinking and take some studying of history to disabuse yourself of that and then to look at patriotism as something different, to realize that patriotism is not, in its best meaning, obedience to government. That patriotism in its best meaning means obedience, not obedience really, but support of the community, the people, the citizens, not the government, and support of the principles for which the government is supposed to stand, but which it really violates again and again. You know, basically the principles of the Declaration of Independence, and equality, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And patriotism should mean, in its best sense, support of those principles, which means that when the government acts against those principles, the government is being unpatriotic. And if people begin to understand patriotism in that way, they would not rush to war. As soon as some leader of government got up before a microphone and says, oh, we must go to war to fight for democracy or liberty or whatever.
Bam. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. Really nothing more needs to be said. Speaking of principles, I mentioned earlier this week William Jennings Bryan's Cross of Gold speech. I almost feel like we should play that clip. Maybe I'll do that. How do we end war? Real simple. Two steps, maybe three. How about three steps, I'll say. Only Congress can declare war, and only Congress can raise and support standing armies. But no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a term longer than 2 years. Oh, wait, we already have that in the Constitution, those two things, but we have deviated from that. And now, guess what? Like Madison said, yeah, all hell is broken loose. So the other way, I would say, you know, only Congress declares war, and then this other thing, but, you know, the other, to raise and support standing armies, only Congress can do that. And the perpetual standing army is not a good thing, historically. We're seeing that, even though we're propagandized to believe the, you know, the opposite. So the last thing that would end, and perhaps this first and foremost, that would end the warmongering, is, as Smedley Butler said, everyone, when we are at a time of war or when we're having conflict or theater or whatever other term of art we want to use, whenever we're, you know, some kind of occupational force or something like that, everyone in America, everyone from George Soros on down gets paid the same as the lowliest GI. What was it, $30 a month or something when Smelly Butler wrote War is a Racket? That'll end them all. Like he said, the war will be over in a month or probably a week. No more defense contractors, no more Raytheon, no more BAE, no more of this kind of nonsense. That would end it all quickly. But that would not be in our the interest of our national security, right? Yeah, the same folks who are, I mean, it's what was historically a practice of intrigue, you know, financing the different players in these conflicts is now, it's not even a secret anymore. The Rand Corporation is for hire to anyone who has a buck. The Rand Corporation used to be, as a result of the national military establishment, NME, the National Security Act originally created, the Rand Corporation was the Army's premier, preeminent think tank. And now the Rand Corporation is for hire. Hey, you need some plans drawn up for, you know, you need some scenario planning done? Sure. The ghost of Dr. Strangelove is at your service. All of these defense contractors are for hire. Arms trafficking apparently is just like, you know, it's a mainstream practice now. It's not even controversial. And that happens right out in plain sight. And then there are the more seedy aspects of it, like what happened at Parkland with Century International Arms, CIA, and all of the Gladio-styled weapons caches all around the world that show up at places like Paris. Or Cheryl Atkinson's work on gun walking, grenade walking, et cetera, et cetera. Why is Cheryl Atkinson not a mainstream, you know, hardcore reporter anymore? Why was she edged out? Oh, because she exposed basically the Gladio network that has never gone away. So it's from mainstream to that to, you know, all the other stuff, to the Kofor Blacks saying the gloves come off and we have guys for hire, to all of you agency folks. It's, you know, or whatever, the big 87654. You know, it's just, it's so insane. All evidence of our descent to madness. A couple other things. Evidence of our descent to madness. So, like I said, pronouns or hate speech, ridiculous. As far as I know, we used to be very thoughtful and considerate with them. Like, as I said earlier, the distinction between ma'am and miss. Very respectful and considerate. Creative expression, art, music, literature is entirely banal. I'm generalizing. Of course, there are exceptions. But generally speaking, creative expression has become entirely banal. Art, music, literature. But, you know, that was what Frederick Taylor Gates envisioned, right? And here we are. I mean, we don't have art programs in school or those kinds of things. That's not important. Speaking of creation, Boston Dynamics in the field of so-called AI robotics. When man is ostensibly left to himself and his own ostensible devices, again, you know, Charles Baudelaire's words apply with force. I think the most clever ruse of the devil, in my words, is to convince or persuade you that he does not exist. But that notwithstanding, when man is ostensibly left to himself and his own ostensible devices, the best he has created with this, you know, Boston Dynamics and so-called AI robotics in mind is little more than a cheap knockoff, speaking of cheap knockoffs, a counterfeit replica of what God has already made. Factor in AI. Have you seen some of the weird stuff that AI is designing, that people have AI designing? You start factoring in AI design, and the so-called creation seems increasingly more like a Rorschach test, at least to me. Weird stuff. You know, you watch CeeLo Green, Gnarls Barkley, you know, crazy video, that kind of thing. Or what's the comic book character? That kind of thing. You know, it's this demonic expression that I see AI creating. Maybe it's just me. So that's, you know, tending ever more toward the bizarre. And then, you know, last but not least, with that in mind, I would say, with these creations, your Boston Dynamics stuff and things like that, they're all creepy. And it's normalizing this creepiness when they roll out these videos. Robots that jump, and, you know, these little dogs or cheetahs that are telling people to wear their mask in the park and things like that. Very creepy. This all reminds me, remember Sid in Toy Story? Sid's Frankentoys? You know, he pulls the head off this doll and sticks it on this erector set thing and that kind of stuff. All the Frankentoys in Sid's room. That's where we're at. Those are just a few of the signs we are descending into Romans 1 madness. And it's not good. I think I said enough about the Grand Wagoneer door badge. I just think it's, you know, it's a travesty. It's an embarrassment to us in America on many levels. Enough about that. Solutions. To conclude my point about solutions, I'll just go through the list quickly. 5 points. What can we do? What is to be done, dear comrades? How do we fix America? 5 simple steps. 1, in a word, repent. That's it. You only need 1. That's it right there. 2, virtue, morality, and religion. Teach our sons and daughters right from wrong, not dialectical brain fog. Like I said, that's 2. But you really don't need to go past 1. Repent, that's all. Like I said yesterday, elect honest men who fear God, Exodus 18:13-23, especially verse 21. And when you do that, when you do that only, shall we say. In the NASB 95, Exodus 18:21 reads, "You shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain." When you do that, there go the Gavin Newsoms, the Joe Bidens, the Andrew Cuomos, like I said yesterday, you know, the Greg Gianfortes, the Steve Bullocks, the Jay Inslees, on and on the list goes. You know, and folks who drift that direction, it's easy to do. I've talked about personal experience seeing that, and, you know, Butch Otter, for example, you know, is someone, again, who wrote the foreword to Benson's The Proper Role of Government, only to, I said Jacqueline yesterday. I really probably should have said Simplot more properly, you know, because he married Gay Simplot and was, anyway, that's a whole different story. But elect honest men who fear God. Number three. Number four, honest weights and measures. Leviticus 19:36, Deuteronomy 25:13 through 15, Proverbs 16:11 and 20:10. Speaking of right, Patman, I was going to mention, I sort of mentioned the quote yesterday, and, you know, kind of coming back to that. Right, Patman. There's a post titled "The Federal Reserve Debunked." It's a good post from August of 2005 over at the Michael Journal. Michael for the Triumph of the Immaculate, Journal of Catholic Patriots for the Society for the Social Credit Monetary Reform. Anyway, so Wright Patman, like I said yesterday, September 29, 1941, congressional record. He said, I believe the system, the Federal Reserve, well, he said, I believe the system should be changed. The Constitution of the United States does not give the banks the power to create money. The Constitution says that Congress shall have the power to create money, but now under our system, we will sell bonds to commercial banks and obtain credit from those banks. And he said, I believe the time will come when people will demand that this be changed. I believe the time will come in this country when they will actually blame you and me and everyone else connected with this Congress for sitting idly by and permitting such an idiotic system to continue. I make that statement after years of study. We have what is known as the Federal Reserve Bank System. That system is not owned by the government. Many people think it is because it's this Federal Reserve, but it belongs to private banks, private corporations. So we have farmed out to the Federal Reserve banking system that is owned exclusively, wholly 100% by the private banks. We have farmed out to them the privilege of issuing the government's money. If we were to take this privilege back from them, we could save the amount of money that I have indicated in enormous interest charges. So, honest weights and measures. There goes the Federal Reserve, the not federal, not reserve, the illegitimate 16th Amendment, along with it, the IRS as the enforcement arm, the aforementioned, you know, what I mentioned the other day, the so-called not-for-profit, the nonprofit foundation scheme, the NGO scheme, the non-governmental organization. These are supranational organizations that are effecting an end run on government, to borrow from Richard N. Gardner, 1974, Hard Road to World Order. Not to mention the offshore money laundering and so forth, right? And then last but not least, number five, thou shalt not bear false witness. Number nine, Exodus 20:16. There goes the entire Bernaysian PR propaganda scheme, including Madison Avenue, Richard Dawkins' selfish gene, mimetic warfare, Google's so-called selfish ledger, Facebook. Not to mention the CFR Trilateral Commission, CSIS, IISS, Brookings, RAND, and the thousands more, the 6,500 plus more sophism factories of Machiavellian so-called influence and persuasion. That's the list of five steps to restore America. Hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.